Greetings, brothers and sisters. It's good to be back here again tonight. I say to you this evening, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Have you been rejoicing in the Lord today? I say a goal in my life, especially in recent years, has been each and every day to be able to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. And I've found the days that I'm able to rejoice in the Lord, things go much better. And so I want to encourage you, rejoice in the Lord, seek the Lord each and every day, delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible says, and God will meet your needs, God will help you, God will bless you. You'll enjoy the sweet fellowship with your Lord and Savior. So it's a blessing to be here tonight. I've been excited to come. It's been a while since we've been here, and I always enjoy coming. Appreciate your faith. I appreciate your steadfastness in following Christ. Appreciate what God is doing. I've had a chance to connect with some of you, although it wasn't here, but since we were here last, we've had some interaction with a few of you, and I want to say thank you for some of those conversations and some of the things that you shared. Just such a tremendous blessing that it has been to me. And so we have an opportunity to encourage one another, and that's what we want to do tonight, this weekend. We want to bless one another. We want to help one another. We want to love one another. You know, it isn't possible to have a love feast without love. You have to have love. And so we want to come in our hearts with love in our hearts for our brothers and sisters, recognizing that may be some challenges there, may be some deficiencies there, may be some needs with them, may be some needs with you. But we want to love one another and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ each day in the way that we interact with one another. So my heart is rejoicing. I'm glad to be here tonight. The passage that Brother Randy is looking to preach on this evening is Psalm 139. So if you have your Bible, which I hope you do, I'd encourage you to open it to Psalm 139. It's a somewhat familiar psalm for a lot of us, I think. It's a psalm of David. It's just fascinating. We know so much about David because of the psalms that he has written and the things that he was experiencing in his life, which he just laid out for us. And it's really been fascinating to see what God was doing in his life. And I think Randy is going to share some of what God has been doing in his life and what God has been teaching him and some of the challenges that he's been facing. Psalm 139, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Is that right, brother? Yeah, 1 to 6. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Looking forward to the message tonight. Let's kneel together for time of
prayer. We bring you greetings and trust the Lord to give us the strength here this evening. Some time ago, I was talking to another minister, a friend of mine, who said he feels like he cannot live up to the to what his brother has held this was another brother that he said, his brother was very gifted in what he does, and he said, I just do not have what he has. And he said, I feel like I'm always living in his shadow. There's something about we as people that will find ourselves feeling inferior, struggling. We feel like we don't measure up. We feel like we don't have what somebody else has. There was another minister who told me that he was called at the same time as another brother and to the ministry, and he said, I felt like I've always played second fiddle behind him. But he was also very thankful that he didn't get put underneath the same pressure as his other brother. None of us really have to go far in life to realize that there's going to be somebody that's going to outdo us with giftings. There's some times where we enter into a situation and somebody just naturally has a gift that we do not have, and we have feelings inside us that are going on that we're struggling with. There are some times that our talents, my talents, will cause somebody else to feel inferior, and they in turn will struggle with that. As I've been thinking about this or pondering this, it causes all kinds of complexities in our lives. Even though God has created us equal in his eyes with value and purpose, he's given us all different gifts and different talents. He's given us all a different purpose in life, an area to serve, an area to give in a certain particular way. But in that, because we're different, because we have our different talents and giftings, we have feelings within us that sometimes we don't know what's really going on there. We struggle at times, think about as we grow. I'm further along in life than maybe some of you younger ones, but there's times of life that we really struggle to find out what God's purpose is. There's some times where there's hard things coming into our life and we're trying to figure out what is going on. Why has God allowed these things into my life? Why has God made me to be this way? What purpose do I have in life? Remember those adolescent years and those teenage years and that struggle. Who am I? What's my identity? Where do I belong? Who do I fit in with? And all those things. Now that we're in our 40s, we are facing new challenges of life, new areas of life. We're trying to discover what God is doing and why he has placed us or doing what he is. So what's going on in my heart or soul that causes me to feel the way I do? Why is it that I have emotions that sometimes are a mystery? Whether there's conflict, whether there's confusion, sometimes chaos in life, these things enter into our lives. We have to ask ourselves, what's going on? Is somebody else at fault? Is somebody else doing something wrong that's making me feel this way? Or is there something going on deep down inside of me that I don't know about? Why do I get nervous standing here before you? Thankfully, my nerves feel calm at the moment. But a situation like this can really make a person feel nervous. I stand here, I can feel intimidated by some of you because of the gifts and talents you brothers in the ministry have. So why do we get nervous? Why do we get anxious? Why do we have these anxious thoughts? Why do we get jealous? Why are we envious of somebody else? Why are we quick to criticize? These are thoughts that pop into our minds. Why do we get defensive? You confront somebody or ask somebody about something and they get very defensive. Why do some people react in anger? Why are some people very competitive? It's interesting to see that my wife and I don't play games very well. I don't think I ever realized that I have a competitive side and she lacks competitiveness, and just the two of us, that does not make a very enjoyable game together. It's not to put her down, it's just the reality that we had to face. Why do some people manipulate or seem to want to have control? Why do some people have more influence than others? It's interesting, probably in a group like this, there's people you can identify that when they speak, they have influence. And there's others when they speak, seems like it falls on deaf ears. I don't understand these things. I don't understand why God allows these areas in our lives. Maybe there's somebody that when you push their buttons, they react, they explode. What are those buttons all about? Where are they coming from? Why are they there? I like to think about a piano. There's some chords that are stretched inside a piano, and when you push a key, a small hammer strikes a chord, and a sound comes out. And our lives, our emotions are a lot like those chords. There's feelings down deep down inside us, and those chords, when somebody pushes a key, something will come out. Sometimes that's revealing what's deep down inside of our hearts, or what's deep down inside of my heart. There's things going on subconsciously that we're not aware of. I had to think about a child sometimes, they're crying and you ask them, what's wrong? And they go, I don't know. Or they're having a temper tantrum, you ask them, what's wrong? And they go, nothing. They don't even know what's going on in their lives. If you think about people sometimes, if you listen to them, you'll hear them make a very a various comment off the cuff about something they don't like about themselves. Maybe a feature of their body, how they sound, how they look, how their hair is, whatever. There's subconscious feeling of, I don't like this. There's all kinds of insecurities that we can deal with in life. Things that we don't want to reveal to others. Maybe faults, or maybe it's just fear. Different things we deal with. It seems to me that as we look around our brothers and sisters, everyone has a cry in their heart, an inward desire, longings, and the world is not here to offer fulfillment to all those things. And somehow God really wants us to come into His presence and to dwell there and find the answers to these things. This is a message that I had worked on some time ago, and it was the result of some maybe personal searching and struggling, trying to discover what God was doing. I've entitled the message Deep Soul Searching. It's something that I believe was healthy and good for me, and something that I would encourage you maybe to allow God to do the same journey for you. I was spending time pondering and praying and looking to the scriptures for answers to my questions, and I knew that the Psalms were filled with passages of emotion, of the writers crying out to God for answers, expressing their pain, expressing their frustration, expressing their thoughts, and desperation to understand God and what He was doing. One morning while studying or just maybe reading through in the Psalms, I came across this passage in Psalms 139. It's very familiar. It's one that I've read many times. It's one that I've probably taught on or have shared from in the past many times. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. But for whatever reason that morning, these first six verses just jumped out to me in a whole new way. And as I pondered these verses, I was becoming overwhelmed with the depth of my heart and the soul that only God knows. That core being of me that goes much deeper than I can really grasp. And I came to verse 6 there where David writes, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. He was saying that the knowledge that God had of him was extraordinary. It was beyond comprehension. It was something that, it was overwhelming David to realize that in the depths of his heart there was places that God knew. The feelings, these things that were deep down inside, and God knows all about. And in that moment, it was a sense of awe, a sense of wonder of the God who knows the depths of my being where I cannot understand it myself. It's like, Lord, I can't understand my own heart, and how am I to understand the hearts of those around me? When there's brothers and sisters that are struggling, when there's people that are dealing with the struggles of themselves, when I struggle to understand myself, how am I supposed to understand what's going on in another person's life? That same morning, while I was searching and praying and finding this passage of Scripture, I turned to the devotional of my utmost for his highest possible chambers, and That morning, the title was Prayerful Inner Searching, and this is what he wrote. He says, Psalms 139, the psalmist implies, O Lord, you are the God of the early mornings, the God of the late nights, the God of the mountain peaks, and the God of the sea. But my God, my soul has horizons further away than those of early mornings, deeper darkness than the nights of earth, higher peaks than any mountain peaks, greater depths than any sea in nature. You are the God of all of these. Be my God. I cannot reach to the heights or to the depths. There are motives I cannot discover, dreams I cannot realize. My God, search me. I don't think it was by coincidence that devotional was there that morning. It was expressing the thoughts that I had in my own mind. He put it into words that described how I was feeling. So this evening here, the first point I'd like to look at is, what is in the heart? What is in the heart of each one of us? Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35, or in that passage there, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what he's saying there is that deep down in our heart, what comes out of our mouth is going to reveal what is deep down inside of us. If there's anger, there's something down there causing that. If there's fear, there's something down in there that's causing us to express that. We think about the emotions that are in our lives. I had to think about if I was to share with you this evening that there was a storm coming, one that we anticipate a lot of danger, the more I would talk about that, the more fear would rise within you. If I share with you this evening that we were having ice cream afterward, you would probably get a warm feeling in you, excitement. If I told you that a storm has passed and the threat is gone, the danger or whatever it may have been is gone, there would be an emotion of comfort, of relief. Our emotions are triggered by what other people are saying. And so sometimes when we speak from our hearts in different situations, it's revealing the emotion, maybe some of the raw emotions that are happening there. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. 1 Corinthians 3:20, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. There are many other scriptures that talk about the heart. It's interesting to do a search on that. So we think about what is in the heart. Is it all evil? Is it all good? If we're honest with ourselves, we'll discover that we all have a selfish nature. It's something that is part of us we were born with. There's sometimes that selfish nature, there's motives that are actually good. When you're tired, it's good to sleep. Your body is craving sleep, and it's a wise thing to take care of that. When your body is saying it's hungry, maybe we need to learn some discipline at times, but our body knows, and sometimes we, if we're traveling and we're getting hungry and we need to stop, there will be a motive to find something, a place to eat. Things like exercise, the need to survive, the necessity to survive, these are motives and at the core of our being, from our self, that are there for good purpose. We think about what's in our heart sometimes. We all have baggage from the past, and with it we carry painful experiences. Discover that in life, none of us can avoid pain. None of us can avoid what kind of pain and challenges we're going to face. God allows them into our lives, and with that we carry some baggage. With that, we think about some of the other motives in our life that we're looking for affirmation. We're looking for acceptance. We're looking for identity. We're looking for value. Also in our heart, we would also have good qualities as well. The world would recognize in us there's kindness, there's love. There's the ability to nurture. There's an ability to care for others. We also have giftings within us, both natural God-given at birth, but also spiritual gifts, things that He grows and matures in us over time, each having its strength and its weakness. I think about sometimes those of us that have the gift of serving, motivated to serve, we see an opportunity, we step in and we help. So you may have discovered that when you step in and help somebody, they are offended because they did not invite you in to help. So sometimes we step into an area and offer a hand when we weren't invited and we end up offending. There are some times where some people have the ability to administrate, and they step in and start administrating when they were not asked to and frustrate people. There are some people that have a gift of seeing straight through a problem, and they express that very quickly and lack maybe some of the compassion to deal with that. Good motives in our lives, but needing that to be reined in under the control of the Spirit. Also thinking about what's in our hearts, we tend to have subconscious thoughts about ourselves, our insecurities, why we shy away from doing things. My personal preference is not to stand in front of people and share. I trust that God is, if He has called me to hear, He will equip me and He will stretch me out on that. But as an insecurity, we would shy away from things like this. We would shy away from responsibilities because we might look like a failure. We might flub and really mess up. You probably don't want me. We make excuses and we shy away. There's other people that when you get close to their insecurities, they react or they erupt in a very aggressive way. When you maybe touch on an area that they are insecure about, they become very domineering, very verbally aggressive, and always point fingers and push people away from getting close to those areas. Both people are trying to protect their self-image, protect who they are. There are depths of sin, roots that keep popping up, sprouts. Just think about like a weed in the garden that just does not go away. No matter how hard you try to get the roots, there's still a root remains and it pops back up. Hebrews 12:1 talks about the sin that so easily besets us. And these are things that are into our heart that Satan knows how to get there and continue to tempt us with. There was a man I knew that struggled with a particular sin over time. It became clear that he wanted to get rid of it. But he also wanted to hang on to the root and to protect that. There was something he didn't like what it was doing to him, but there was still something comforting about hanging on to that root. And he worked to protect that. The desire was much deeper than the surface of his heart, and he needed the Lord to reach in and remove that root. He needed the Lord to do a great work in his life. Some of the other things that stuff into our heart are pain, which lends to bitterness, internal focus. It leads to depression. Raw wounds and disappointments and grief, they cause us to react at times, while others may build walls to keep people at a distance. These are things that accumulate over our life. There's feelings of intimidation, inferiority, that leave us defeated, rejected, and troubled or trampled on, feeling miserable. I remember an experience that happened right here in York County, probably 15, 16 years ago. Before we moved to Maine, we were on a job on east of York. And it must have been the winter time. We were a little slower in work. And there was two of us operators that both ran bulldozers. Generally, we were each on separate jobs taking care of that. But this time, we were both on the same job. He was on the cutting side. I was on the filling side. And this man was seasoned much more than I was. He had a natural gift and ability to do what he was doing. And he had probably 7-8 years of experience on me. And for some reason that maybe 3-4 days that we worked together were probably some of the most miserable days of work. I felt like he was watching everything I did, and he was sitting over there, why is he doing that? Why is he, what's he thinking? I don't think he wasted his time in those days wondering what I was doing. But I was dealing with that, and I was letting thoughts ruin my days because of I felt intimidated by him. And so I was ruining my days by entertaining thoughts that were probably not real. He wasn't the problem. It was me subconsciously having these feelings that were ruining my days. So the question I'm going to ask, point number two, what is the cry of my heart? What is the cry that's going on deep down inside of me? What do you long for? What are you craving after? If it's after sin, it will be towards sin. But as believers living our lives for Christ, what is our cry? And what will bring you that lasting satisfaction, that lasting contentment? What will bring fulfillment to the deep cry of your heart? I found in this passage here in Psalms 139, as important for us to allow God to sort things out, to discover in my own life who God created me to be and what my heart truly is longing for. It seems like I watch some of my friends as we reach our maybe mid-stage of life. We found ourselves just kind of once again reevaluating life, reevaluating our purpose, really evaluating what God was doing. I don't know if you call it the midlife crisis or if it's just a fact of transitioning from our youthfulness to a time in life where we can't always do what we once did. So we get all these feelings in there, and I've find different people that end up going to counseling to try to sort through their feelings, their emotions. Others just have some good friends that can help them process and think through these things. There's many things in my own life I had to try to sort out before God. We see that God has created us unique with his fingerprints on our lives. We see that in the later part of Psalms 139 here. God had a purpose in each of our lives. We each have value, we each have purpose. And it's up to us to go to the Lord to find this affirmation from him. I find that people are poor judges. We make judgments upon people. We look at value, we look at their purpose, and we make a judgment as to what that is. There's places that people have judged me and have placed maybe some thoughts of purpose or value upon me that I didn't feel were fair. But in this, I recognize that it is up to me to go back to the Lord. It is up to me to look into his word and allow God to speak into my heart. Allow God to come in and sort these things out and show me that I am valuable in his eyes. I don't have to be somebody else. I don't have to be what other people expect me to be. I need to be the servant of the Lord and find my value, my purpose in him. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, counsel or purpose in the heart of man is like a deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. We see there the counsel or that purpose or maybe the thoughts of the heart of a man is like deep water. That word deep is maybe another word would be mysterious. It's below, it's so deep that we don't know what's there. Maybe think about a deep well, something that we've never gone down into. We just know what comes out. But it says here, a man of understanding will draw it out. And sometimes we have people in our lives that have that understanding and are able to help us sort through our emotions, help us sort through what's going on. As parents, you parents here, I would imagine one of the most difficult challenges is for you to figure out each child's heart. We haven't been blessed with children. That's been a journey of its own, but we've been blessed to watch families around us raising their children. And it's pretty obvious to see that each of the children are different. Each of the children are unique in personality and giftings. And we watch as the parents struggle to discover their children. I was blessed to hear a young man says, I want the heart of my children. He said, I want to win their heart. And that was to discover who that child was, what their heart's cry was, and to connect with them with a mutual understanding and a love for each other. If you think about it, in our marriage, we attempt to understand each other's heart's desire, but because we don't think alike, Eunice is not a man, I'm not a woman. Right there, we think differently. But our giftings and how our perspectives in life, we do see things differently. And there's times where I can't understand what's going on in my life, my heart, let alone trying to figure out how she's feeling and what's going on there. It is our purpose to love one another. It's our purpose to listen to one another and allow each other to express our thoughts and our feelings. As we think about this passage here, Psalms 139, it's very clear that God knows exactly the depths of our heart. He knows exactly what's going on so deep. He knows what the source of my thoughts are, the emotions that come from somewhere that I cannot know. And he understands and knows our deepest cry, and he is the greatest source of fulfillment. I don't know many of you well, but I suppose that you're human just like me, and you have thoughts, and you have feelings, you have emotions. I've heard it said us guys have emotions, we just don't know how to feel them. We don't know how to, maybe our wives are a little more, show their emotions, a little more than us men do. They're there with a purpose, and God has created them, and he wants us to begin to feel them, and he wants us to discover maybe where they're coming from. The third point when I look at it is heart surgery. We think about God working in our lives. He is the master surgeon. I was visiting with a friend some time ago, and he mentioned a pond project that they were doing, and they were digging out the muck off the bottom of the pond. They had drained the pond. It was a dry year. They took the opportunity. The springs had stopped, so they cut off the feed and allowed that pond to dry up. Then he went in and began to dig. And he said on the deepest part, there was about 9 feet of muck that they hauled out of there. While he was doing this, he was asking the Lord as to what lesson do you have for me in this whole matter? And this is where he shared with me. He felt the Lord was saying there was much to uncover under the surface of his heart. And it was a fresh reminder of God, come into my life, come into my heart, and begin to reveal those deep things. We look into a pond. Probably many of you have had this experience. You look at the pond and the water looks so inviting. You jump in and where do your feet go? They sink into mire. And everything looked good on the surface. Everything, the water looked calm. There weren't ripples in the pond. It looked inviting. It looked refreshing. But as you get in there, your feet sunk into the mud and it was like, ugh, I don't want to be here. Sometimes as God, as he works in our heart, he comes into areas of our lives that we say, oh, that's ugly. That's not good. You may notice here in verse 1 of Psalms 139, David writes, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. In verse 23, he says again, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. The question I had to ask was, David wrote, thou hast searched me. You have known me. But he invites the Lord again to search him and know my heart. If God already knows, why is David asking again for him to search him all over? Does he doubt God, or is he beginning simply to understand that there's more to uncover? He recognized he was overwhelmed by the fact that God knows already what's going on. He talks about, no matter where I go, you're already there. You know my downsitting, my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path. The idea of maybe a broadcast cedar that's spread out, spread seed all over. That's God compassing our path. Am I lying down and art acquainted with all my ways or all of my motives? God already knows those things. For there is not a word on my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The words that come out of our mouth, God already knows where that has come from. He already knows before we say it, before the thoughts enter into our mind. He already knows all about that. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. And then David says, such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It's extraordinary. It's uncomprehensible. It's beyond understanding. And I stand in awe of that great knowledge. God is the best heart surgeon there is. He knows the secrets and the depths, the dark areas of our hearts, the areas that we need to allow him to take attention to. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, he can begin to reveal, to clean, to heal, restore our hearts for service by the blood of Christ. I think all of us that have faced painful times in our lives, we need to find healing. When we carry around those grudges, when we carry around those bitterness, it isn't long to realize this is kind of miserable. This is not good. Unfortunately, some people carry that way too long in life. Probably all of us know people that died a bitter person because of something that was unresolved. As we face our challenges, as we face those painful moments, if we invite God into our lives, being vulnerable, naked and bare before our Maker, giving him full access to the deepest recesses of my heart, we allow him to come in and bring healing to those painful moments, to bring a new life where things have been uprooted and pulled out. We're familiar with that passage in Hebrews 4, 12, and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This passage speaks of God's ability to get into the depths of our being. I had to think about the joints and the marrow. It's like if you cook off a chicken and you start to pick the meat off the bones and you break it down, you're dissecting or you're pulling it apart down to the nitty-gritty. So God has already been able to sort through our being. He was the master engineer. He is the one that created us. He is the one that not only created us physically, but also spiritually and having that soul. And he knows the depth of that. And he wants to be there, working in there. God already knows. Why not let him take us into the deep to face our fears, to enter into the unknown mire, and to have that cleansing and that healing that we so badly need. We tend to protect the surface of our hearts with our own pride. Proverbs 21:2 says we are right in our own eyes. We tend to prop ourselves up with the accomplishments of our lives, the things that we've done, the things that we have succeeded in. And we surround ourselves with people and things that support our pride or support our self-image. The Lord wants us to relinquish control and allow him into the deep and reveal what's there. Some time ago, I was searching for answers and maybe just digging into some other thoughts in my mind. And I went to the book of Job and I opened it up at the end and began to read. And I kind of read through the book backwards. I was searching for some answers, searching for maybe the raw emotions that Job was feeling. Searching for how he came to grips with that. What was interesting is when Job finally broke before God, he was still in his miserable physical state, but he found peace with God. He found healing. He found restoration. God restored unto him tenfold, or restored unto him all things better than before. But that didn't happen until he had already found peace with God. What's underneath in our hearts robs us of joy, keeps us from being patient, loving, or kind. But we know that the Holy Spirit can fill us all these qualities under the extreme circumstances if only we would let him have access to our hearts. I'm challenged by the our brothers and sisters around the world that live under persecution. They have a faith and a joy in the Lord that stands under extreme opposition and extreme challenges. And I wonder why we struggle as believers in the church under some of the trivial things that we deal with. Jesus went to the cross to die for us from my sin. He conquered death and has given us new life. And what he really wants is to get to our heart, get to the depths of our heart, and wants to give us life to the fullest with joy and peace within. I believe this is something that we all know and understand, but we don't always know how to get there. This message is one more of hopefully piquing your interest to be aware of the feelings that are going on in the depths of your heart, to understand that those emotions, those feelings are there. God has created our emotions. He has created things with a purpose. And sometimes when you speak or you listen to someone else speak and you hear from their heart a cry, maybe it's from a pain from the past. Maybe it's from grief that they're dealing with. Maybe it's from an unresolved conflict. Maybe it's from a pet peeve of theirs. Understand there's probably a cry in their heart of something they're longing for. There's some times in our own lives, probably others can be detected in me. There may be something coming from my heart that I'm unaware of, but others can see it. Even though you may not understand, I want to say here in conclusion, even though you may not understand your own thoughts and feelings, I would invite you to worship the God who knows, to stand in awe, to stand in the presence of God or bow before him, and to worship the Creator who knows the depths of your being, knows the core of your heart. If you find yourself struggling and discouraged, which we all face those times, those things at times, we can still worship our Creator. He knows our deepest core, our longing, our cry, our deepest pain. And he wants to get to the heart. I'm sharing with a brother here recently, I said, when I looked at the life of Job, I said, what God really wanted was he wanted the heart of Job. He wanted the depth. He wanted a heart that pursued God in a much deeper way. We must allow Christ into the depths of our being to discover what is there, to invite him to come in, to live through us to the fullest, not to just be a Christian in thought and word, but to allow Christ in to a much deeper level and allow him to move through us to the fullest ability. This is allowing him to deal with the mire in my heart, allowing him to dig into those dark areas of my soul, to discover the feelings that are going on, discover where they're rooted, and discover maybe the pride or the envy or the jealousy that's there. I was talking with a brother here some time ago, and I said, I realize I have a smart aleck side to me. Sometimes where my first comment or my first thought that comes to my mind is not the one I should say. Somewhere deep down inside, there's a root that probably is causing me to have a smart answer. Maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it's an unresolved issue in my life. But as I discover these things, it's, Lord, you come in. You work in my heart. You work in my life. Create in me what you want me to be and help me to live to the fullest. My prayer is that the Lord would take each of us on this journey, that he would bring us into his presence and allow him to settle in the depths of our heart and to draw us closer to him. Well, thank you for your attention, and it's time to turn over to Brother Marvin.
Brother Randy has given us a lot of good thoughts. He's encouraged us to allow God to do heart surgery. I want to read the last two verses there of Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What does that require? That requires a willingness to open our heart to God. He wants to go deep with us, but he can only go as deep as we allow him. We have got to have a heart of willingness or a willing spirit to allow God into our lives to deal with. Maybe there's wickedness. Maybe there's, Randy touched on a lot of different things. And God knows them, and he wants to deal with them. Let us stand for closing prayer.